In Luke chapter 15, I want to start reading in the 11th verse. Now, again, this is familiar scripture. You bear with me tonight. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And I appreciate tonight the Lord giving us a text and a place to read from tonight. And I'd ask that you'd pray for me just for a few minutes, that the Lord might help me kind of bring out what's been rolling around in my mind this afternoon. But I've spent a lot of time thinking about this prodigal son. This younger son that had the desire that he might have his goods and go and maybe live it up, or live what he thought would be a better life, or maybe a more joyous life, or a life of entertainment, a life of just having a good time, no real cares in this life. And I guess we've all heard it all our lives, that the grass is greener on the other side. And no doubt this young man maybe had heard some of his friends talking about what a good time they were having just down the road. And you ought to come be with us, and we're seeing all these good times, and all the women that are down here, and all the pleasures that we're enjoying, and oh, we're having such a good time. So I don't know if maybe he went to his daddy before and said, Father, can I go do this or do that? And maybe his dad said, No, son, we don't do those things. But he just had a desire to live the life that everybody else was living. He had a desire to have those worldly desires fixed in his life, that he might find the joys of this world. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something. So he came to his father and he said, Father, would you give unto me that that's mine? Would you split the inheritance and give me my portion? And of course the father did what his son asked, and gave him the portion. And he went off in just a few days and went to a far country and began
begin to spend all this living on a righteous living, all of his money and all of his inheritance on a righteous or sinful living. And I've spent some time, Brother William, thinking about this father. He's at home, and maybe he's second-guessed himself. Should I give my son these things? You know, maybe if I hadn't have given them, he'd be back at home with me. But he let his son go, and I guess at any time he could have went where his son was at and drug him back. But that wouldn't have done him any good, you know. He'd have always wanted to go back. And of course, reading what the older brother said, undoubtedly they knew what was going on. They knew how he was living his life, how he was living in sin and committing all these vile acts. They were hearing reports. And I'm just imagining this, you know, that many times maybe one of his servants would say, he's down there wasting all his money. Let us go get him and bring him back. We can bring him back now, and maybe he won't be scarred too bad. And the father said, no, just let him alone. He's doing what he wants to do, and just let him alone. I don't know how many days it was, but the Bible said it wasn't very long after he was in this country that he realized there was a famine in the land, and he didn't have anything to eat, and he didn't have anything to drink. And I want to tell this evening, maybe out of some of the young folks or others that might be thinking about going out and living a worldly life, he had lots of friends when he was spending money. As long as he had money in his pocket, everybody wanted to be his friend. All the girls wanted to come be with him. He's probably, you know, he'd walk into the local bar, the local establishment, and say, drinks are on me. And everybody loved him, and everything was going great for him. And all those friends that he'd been spending his life with turned his back on him. They didn't know who he was anymore. You know, it's always funny when somebody, you know, in the life of the party, Brother Meekin, they like to drink, you know, and have a good time in the world. Everybody loves a silly drunk. Everybody loves that one, that. They get a little alcohol in them, and they just open up, and everybody loves them. But nobody loves the alcoholic. Nobody wants to be around the drunkard or the dopehead. They turn their back on them. I want to tell you something, that's just how the devil works. He'll get you right where he wants you. Take everything away from you. Strip you down to nothing and leave you right where you are. And somebody said, well, if I get low enough, the devil will have mercy on me. He knows no mercy. He'll take you all the way down to hell if he can. That's his desire tonight, that there'd be more and more going where he's at. So the prodigal son's down here, and he's, of course, you know, the scripture makes this very apparent. Brother Harold, the Bible will even tell us that there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's a good time to be had out in sin. This flesh will have a good time. But what we don't realize, or what the world does not realize, that sin has effects. The sin has effects, and the end thereof being death, if we go far enough. There's never been one alcoholic started out to be that way. There's never been one drug addict said to himself, I want to be on Skid Row. It always starts out for pleasure and having a good time. But the old song says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. So he's down here in this other country, and he don't have anything to eat, and he's hungry. And the Bible said that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He just became a servant or a slave unto this man. And of course, if you study out any of the Jewish laws, they didn't have anything to do with swine or with pig. They wasn't even herdmen. No, they wouldn't go down there with those swine. They left them alone. But hear this, a man that used to be a son, sitting up there by the table, soul, eating from the Father's bread. He finds himself down there so hungry that he was ready to eat that of the husk. He's ready to, in Sand Mountain language, he's ready to eat the pig slop. He's so hungry, he's just ready to eat anything. And he's down in this low spot, and I tell you something, I figured this out. Sometimes you have to get low enough that there's nowhere else to go that before you'll turn back to the Lord. I found that to be true in my life. I look to every other situation. I look to everybody else for help. But when I finally get low enough, I'll look up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm in trouble, and I sure do need you. I just wonder if there was a report sent back to the father that said, your son is feeding swine. He's starving to death. His clothes are ragged. And they said, let us go get him and bring him home. And the father said, no, he's getting ready to come home now. He's getting in that low spot. You just let him alone. It won't be long. He's going to come back home to me. And you know, I just know how to, maybe some of you mamas and daddies tonight might be looking at your children, and they're out there living in the world, and they're living in sin. And you think, I don't know what to do. People have told you, just give up on them. Just let them go. Don't worry about them anymore. They're gone. They've gone too far now. Hey, don't tell you something. That old sinner man that used to sit at the father's table, he's out there ready to eat the slop. And he says, down there so hungry. All of a sudden he comes to himself. Praise the Lord. I tell you something, in my own life, there's a time that I went out and done some things I'm ashamed of. And I'm not going to stand up here and brag about the sins I committed. I got in a real low spot, and I got down real low, and I came to myself, and I realized that I had a heavenly Father that loved me and was concerned about me. I found myself in an altar of prayer, buried up a praying, and the scripture says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 that if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just and to forgive us of our sins. I found that to be true, Brother Carey, down in an altar of prayer. I began to repent and turn my heart back to God. I tell you where I was. Some of you, the scripture, I found this in the scripture later. I thought I was lost. I was in trouble. I was under conviction from what way I'd been living my life. And the scripture talks about that a man could go so far that he would forget he was purged from his old sins. That's exactly where I was at, Brother Mick. I went down to the altar and I tried to get saved. And I begged the Lord to save me. But see, the Lord already done that work. I didn't need to be saved again. I need to repent and get my heart right with God. And so after a while of trying to get saved, that wasn't working. And I finally turned my heart over to God. And I began to say, I'm sorry. And not just that I'm sorry. I'm talking about I repented of my sins. I turned away from that sinful life. I was heading back to the Father. I don't know what happened in this young man's life when he got up out from them hogs and walked back by the master he had joined himself to, and he said, I'm going home. And he said, you can't go home. Your father won't have you. He said, maybe not, but I'll go down to his flocks. I'll just be a servant unto him. I just want to go home. And that young man starts heading out, heading down the road. And listen, I'm going to tell you why I think the father was always looking for him. The Bible said when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I just wonder, you know, how the conversation might have went. How many times he went and looked out the window thinking maybe today will be the day I'll see him coming. Maybe one of the servants came in and said, there's an old beggar man coming down the road. He looks pretty rough. And the father looked out the window and said, that ain't no beggar. That's my boy. And the Bible said he went running to where he was at. Praise the Lord tonight. I don't know if he tried to dust himself off or tried to wipe the slop off of himself, but there was no help to be found. But his father came up and praise the Lord tonight. He wrapped his arms around him and he kissed him and he said, you know, Daddy, I just
be a servant. I'm not worthy to be your son. And it's like the father didn't even hear him. He said, bring him a robe. Bring him a ring. Bring him some shoes. Kill the fatted calf. My son is dead. That was dead is alive again. He was lost and now he's found.
Your father's a looking for you. He's a looking for you. And he knows how we're living our lives. He knows what we've done. And he's a looking to love on us anyway. That amazes me. That amazes me. Mamas and daddies, don't give up on them kids. Don't give up on them children. Brothers and sisters, don't give up on your brother. Don't get angry with him. It's just sin. Sin is ruling their lives. Sin is a ruling their lives. They wouldn't really do these things, you know. Somebody said, well, I used to know my brother. He used to be a better person. He used to not do these things. Hey, but when sin gets a hold of you, it will corrupt your life. It will ruin you. Sin breaks apart homes. Sin ruins families. Sin brings death this evening. There's nothing good out there in the world. What's good is found right here at the house of God. Praise the Lord tonight. For his unending mercy and his unending grace. I believe it's Romans where Paul said that the law came, you know, and then sin abounded. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Praise the Lord tonight for God's marvelous grace that saved a sinner like me. Kept me down through this life. Praise the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. That the Lord loves us like a father loves his children. I didn't realize how much my mom and daddy loved me. For the first time I held my little girl. I held Lee Allison in my arms. And I looked at her and I thought, my, I love her. Just holding her in my arms. And I loved her. That's just the way the Lord is. We don't really understand just how much we think, you know, we love the Lord. And we say oftentimes, well, I'm going to say I love the Lord. But let's be honest this evening. My love's conditional. And my love has its limits. But our Heavenly Father, Brother William, his love knows no limits. Oh, praise the Lord. It's deeper than we can imagine. It goes higher than we can think about. The love of God. How he loved a sinner like me. I'll never understand. But I praise his name tonight that he loved me despite what I was, despite what I was going to do, and despite what I'm still going to do. Amen. The Lord still loves me tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord for his love towards us. Mamas, don't give up on them babies. Keep praying. Daddy, don't get up. Don't give up. I'm sure there was a part in this father's life that was angry because of what his son was doing, wasting all that he had worked hard for. And I don't know if maybe his elder son had heard something, but I'll tell you something. Sometimes we in the church that are always faithful in the church, we come on Sunday morning, we come on Sunday night, we come on Wednesday night, we come to revivals. If we're having a work day, we're here with a shovel or a hoe or a hammer or a saw. We're always working and working and working. And then there's those folks, you know, that's part of the church, and they just pop in every once in a while. They don't really have a lot to do with the church. And we see them come down the altar, and they make things right with God, and they get up, and they might shout a while, and they might worship God. And we'll say within ourselves, well, why can't I shout like that? I've been faithful. I've been faithful. I've been here and I've been here. Oh, listen what the father told the older son. He said, hey, listen, you've always been here with me. Everything I've got is yours. Praise the Lord tonight. I don't care how deep in sin they are. I'd love to see every one of them get right with God. And God fill them with a shout and give them glory in their souls. And that they might realize there's a robe of righteousness waiting. There's a ring on their finger to be had. Their shoes on their feet. If they'd get our hearts right with God this evening. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get self-righteous in ourselves. Now I'll tell you something. I've been pastoring since 2000. That's when I pastored my first church in the year 2000. I've never missed a year. I think I've been two Sundays I took off between churches when I wasn't officially a pastor, you know. I've been pastoring since 2000, preached since in 1994, got my heart right with God shortly before that. And the Lord's, I've just been trying to walk with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. All the preaching I've done, all the revivals, all the churches I've pastored, you take the blood of Christ out of my life and I'm still as unrighteous as the sinner down the road. It's not by my righteousness. It's not because how many's been saved while I was preaching. It's not because the folks I visited in the hospital. I do those things because the Lord saved me. I'm not saved by my good works, but I'm saved unto good works. Amen. And I say this, I'm not saved by my good works, nor am I kept by my good works. I'm kept by the grace of God, by my Heavenly Father, and it's got a hold on me, and it's able to keep me from falling. And one of these days, He's going to present me unto His Father. I'll be part of the bride of Christ. Praise the Lord. We'll be gathered around the throne of God for all of eternity, praising His holy name. Amen. I've been the prodigal. I've been the older brother. I haven't had to be the father yet, and I pray that I never do have to be the father. But I've been a pastor, and I've watched folks walk out of the church. And I think, no, please don't go. Don't go out there in the world. I've seen them come back ragged after turning their backs on the Lord. Lost their wives, lost their husbands, lost their children to sin or death. Lost their living, lost their livelihood. And they come back in. And I ain't never looked at one of them, Brother Carey, and said, I told you so. I've looked at them and said, I'm so sorry. But God will forgive you. And He'll love you. He'll bring you back in. You may be scarred. Listen, as far as I know, the younger brother didn't have any inheritance. He had spent everything he had. He done spent his part of the inheritance. Now, I don't know, Brother Mickey, if sometime down the road, his brother got his heart right and said, hey, brother, you're my brother and I love you and I'm going to give you some more. Even though you wasted it last time, I've seen a difference in you and I'm going to give you more. I just think that might have happened sometime in this man's life. There's scars that come with sin. It'll be with us and haunt us forever. Sometimes you see folks, I see folks, and they bring up stuff from my past, and I want to hide in shame. There's a little old girl, same age as my daughter, Hannah Kate. She's a senior this year at Boaz High School. And her daddy was one of my best friends in school. I was not living right. He was dating a girl that I went to church with. I went to church every Sunday. I was what you call a hypocrite. People don't want to hear that name anymore, but that's what I was. I was a hypocrite. I'd come to church on Sunday. I'd sing. I'd lead the singing on Sunday night. Come on Wednesday nights. And the rest of the week, I was just doing what the world done. I thought I was having one of my best friends in high school. I love him today, Steve. He was dating a girl I went to church with. She said, won't you come to church? And this still hurts my heart, even tonight. She told me this. He said, well, I live as good as Chris Reeves does. He go to church all the time. What do I want to go to church? And that little old girl, her daddy, lives down in South Alabama, down by the beach. She very rarely hears from him, very rarely sees. I preached revival at her church last year, and I come by and I hugged her neck and I cried and I said, I'm sorry that I was not a better influence on your daddy. I'm part of the reason your daddy's where he's at. I'm haunted by that. And I ever since I figured out who she was when she was about 4 years old, 5 years old, first started out school with Hannah Kate, and I saw her mama and she hugged my neck and I said, how's he doing? And she said, I don't know. He done moved off and left us. And my heart's been broke ever since. There are pains that come with sin. There are regrets. I know the Lord's forgiven me, but I still hang on. I got scars in my heart. I still drag some weights behind me for things I've committed in my past. I'm thankful to be where I'm at, and I pray for him all. And every time I see her, I'll say, have you heard? Sometimes it's yes. Talk to him. Most of the time it's not. I saw his grandmother here a while back, and I preached her about it. It's been about 3 years ago. I preached at her church. And she hugged my neck, and she said, are you praying? She said, don't give up on him. And I said, I'm not. I want to see him get saved. I don't want him to go to hell. I'm not going to give up on him. I'm looking. Sin make you pay a price. Price you wish you didn't have to pay. I think about what the Lord said in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke. But nonetheless, he spends some time talking to the Pharisees and talking about one thing then another. Then he gets down to the end. And he starts talking to the Pharisees, and he starts telling them that they're hypocrites, that they're in sin. And he stands up and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, killed them that are sent to thee. How many times would I Like the hen, our mother hen, gathers her chickens or gathers her broods, I believe one said, under her wings, but ye would not. And they said, destruction's coming. You're going to be desolate. I wonder how many times the Lord's looked for you and said, let me gather you under my wings like a hen does her brood, that I might protect you, and you would not. Lord, help. The Lord's standing here tonight with open arms, saying, come unto me. You know, the night that I got saved, Brother William, I've shared this a lot. I was about three or four rows back, right on the end, brother. And when I made that first step towards the altar, man, all the dirt, it was just like I was walking on. I really think I got saved on that first step. I came to him and his heir. That's how it worked. I started his way and he's heir. He got me down and I prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me. I cried and prayed, confessed a bunch of stuff. But I really think I got it on that first step. I come a step towards him, he ran to me, brought me down to the altar, and he saved me. The night that I got down and tried to get right with the Lord, I spent a lot of time begging God to help, making deals with him, bargaining with him, pleading with him my case. And I finally got to a spot that I said, Lord, I don't have nothing to offer. I'm sorry. My heart was broken. I had that broken heart and that contrite spirit. I couldn't even reach up and get close, but he could reach way down where I was at. He pulled me up out of that miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Amen. You cannot do good enough to get right with him. You can't shed off enough sins and shed off enough things in the world. Brother William, got to come just as I am. Ain't that right? Come just as I am. Had old prodigal son coming home, clothes raggy, dirty. Probably had mud in his hair. You know, I picture this dirty son come walking up the road. Come, there come the father. And I don't know. I've just always pictured him trying to do the best he could to clean off what he had. He smelled bad. But that father didn't care. Amen. The hog smell didn't even run him. He come running up and hugged him, kissed him on the cheek, and he's already repenting. Daddy, I'm sorry. I can't be your son no more. I'm just an old servant. And he said, bring him the robe, bring him the ring and the shoes. Kill the fatted calf. Let us make merry. My son is back. He's home. Praise the Lord. Now, I did say this one ago. I'm fixing to be done. Brother Denver, you and Brother Max, get us a song invitation. The Bible says, you know, that where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. But in the next chapter, the Apostle Paul starts out this way. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We've been made alive in Christ. Amen. We ought not live in sin anymore. There's a lot of people who have this theory in their mind. They're going to test the grace of God, see how much it can do. We ought not live that way. Amen. We ought to try our best to live for God. Again, not earning salvation, not paying for our salvation. But because what he done for me, I want to live for him. I want to live for Christ. For see, I'm dead to sin. It's no longer me that liveth, but Christ that liveth. Amen. I don't know your heart tonight. You may be the prodigal out there and just kind of went out in the world. And the Father's saying, come back. You might be a father or a mother, but your children are not living right. Don't give up on. Come pray. Come pray. Come pray. Come pray. That the Lord will touch and save. Get them right. God, I'm glad the Lord didn't give up on. The Lord hadn't gave up on you. The Lord won't give up on your children. Now, he might let them go far enough to let them fall down in sin and get dirty and scraped up so they'll come back. We want to protect. That's what's wrong with our generation. Every time little children do something, mom and daddy go bail them out. Sometimes there's a price that has to be. You let them pay it, and then maybe they'll learn from it and not do it. It's a price to. I don't know your heart tonight. Come on.